Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, it is the final week of our stewardship series called A Generous Life, and we've been exploring over the last few weeks what generosity is, why it matters, how it impacts our faith, and all of that conversation really leads to this day. Every single year at St. Luke's, we have this day called Commitment Sunday. And this is a day when you will, at the end of the service, get a chance to make a pledge, to get to say how you're going to support St. Luke's with your financial gifts in the ministry year ahead. So, and also, you're going to get a mug, which is very exciting. I'm going to take a moment, just a moment, and I want to highlight these mugs. I want to give a huge shout out to our comms team because these mugs, I'm going to get one. I got to get one. I'm so excited about these mugs. Rachel, our communications director, brought one to me to see this week, and I like squealed with delight because there is a cork bottom, which is cool. There's a spill-proof lid. I mean, it's everything we need in a mug. So I want to get you excited about this mug. But when you bring up your commitment card, you'll get to have one of these mugs. But we're going to get to that at the end of the service. And before we get there, we're going to explore a little bit more of the why. Why are we generous? Believe it or not, it is actually not so you get an awesome mug. That is not the main point of this. But we're looking at this question, why do we live a generous life? And what kind of legacy do we leave behind when we do? So hold that question as we talk today. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Indianapolis had a little event happen. You might be aware. You might have heard some rumors. You might have heard some whispers. A certain person was in town. Her name is Taylor Swift. Okay, now some of you are like, Mindy, it's too soon for this business because I was there refreshing Ticketmaster for 3 days straight and I did not get tickets. I know, I'm sorry. I don't want to bring up a hard topic. I'm sorry that Ticketmaster and that whole system is really broken and flawed. But here's why I bring up Taylor Swift and the Eras Tour. So it's almost over. You know, she's in Canada right now. She's got a few more stops. This tour has been going on for like 18 months. And this tour has had a massive impact on the economy of places that it's gone. In fact, it's had such an impact that people, like really smart people, have given it an official term. It's called Swiftonomics. It's real. I didn't make that up. I found that in a financial article that I looked up this week. And what that means is whether you love Taylor Swift or you're kind of like meh about Taylor Swift, her tour has had an impact that goes far beyond the actual concert she's putting on. It's estimated that the Eras Tour generated between $5 and $10 billion for the U.S. economy alone. $5 and $10 billion in the United States. The California Center for Jobs and the Economy estimated that the tour was going to result in a $320 million increase to the L.A. County GDP. They also expected that the tour would increase area employment by 3,300 jobs and increase local earnings by $160 million. Beyond the U.S., when she's made stops in certain countries, in certain cities, it has completely revitalized the tourism industry in those places. Singapore was a place that really pointed to the Eras Tour as being kind of a defining moment for their tourism industry. So why am I telling you all this about Taylor Swift? You're like, yeah, okay, she's a billionaire. That is cool. That is not my experience. Like, what do I do with this information? The point of this is that whether you're someone like who's super famous and super rich, or you're just like super normal, we all have the ability to leave a legacy behind that is beyond what we can even imagine. And the way that we do things, like ordinary things, like how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we use our resources, all of that can add up to something that goes beyond our immediate here and now and leaves an amazing impact on the future. That's what Jesus invites us to consider in this scripture that Stevie read for us out of Matthew today. Jesus is inviting us to really pay attention to our relationship with our resources, to pay attention to how we look for these opportunities to think beyond just the immediate moment we find ourselves in, and to pay attention to what we actually value and what we do with what we value. You know, in this scripture, Jesus uses this word treasure a lot. He says, don't store up your treasure in this place. Do this with your treasure. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Treasure, treasure, treasure. And I don't know if it's because I'm a child of the 90s, but when I hear that word treasure, I get this image like in that movie Aladdin. You know, in Aladdin, he goes into the Cave of Wonders and he's just like surrounded by treasure. I mean, there is gold, there's money, there's expensive stuff. Like everywhere he looks, there's treasure. And I just think, okay, that is not my experience with treasure in my life. And it's probably not most of our experience with this idea of treasure. But the point is, we all have things that matter a lot to us. We all have things that we value. We all have things that maybe on our more anxious or not so great days, we might be tempted to hold on to a little bit tighter than is actually beneficial to us or the world around us. We all have some kind of relationship with treasure that can get a little tricky, that can get a little bit in the way of really trusting and following where God wants to take us. And so Jesus wants to talk about this, not just in this scripture, but Jesus talks about money a lot and our relationship to money a lot. And when Jesus is teaching about this, I think he's really looking at the people who are following him, people who have said, hey, I want to live my life in a way that might just push back against some cultural norms, that might look a little bit different than the world around me. And even though Jesus is teaching to a group of people that live in, let's just say, an exceptionally different context than 2024 America, okay? Like the economy, the way money works, it all looks so different than the world we live in. And so I'll name that up front. But I think even with those differences, there's some really important stuff in here. There's some really applicable stuff in here. There are truths that Jesus is talking about here that matter just as much to us as it did to those original audiences that he was having this conversation with. Because I think when Jesus is talking about this here, he's saying, look, you have things that you place value in. You have treasures that you care about. But be careful with those things. Be careful that you don't put all of your hopes and dreams and faith and stuff that could go away. All it takes is one bad life event. All it takes is one bad turn of the markets for some of this stuff to go away. And Jesus says it's important, but it's not everything. So just be aware. Pay attention. Look at where your heart really lives. Now, I don't think for a minute that Jesus would say something like, hey, don't save for retirement. Just like be kind of like free and loose with it. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. I've heard that sermon preached before. That's not the sermon I'm preaching today. I don't think Jesus would say, don't be wise with what you do with your money. But I do think Jesus would say, look at your priorities. Look at how you order your heart. Look at how you order your life. And be willing to ask some good questions about that. I think that's where Jesus is leading us with this teaching. And I actually think at the heart of what Jesus is talking about here is this invitation to have a bigger imagination about what we can do with our resources. Now, here's the thing. Every single one of us in this room, we have some kind of resource. So some of us, we might say, yes, I have a lot of financial resources. That might be your story. Some of us, we might say, I have a lot of time. I can give a lot of that generously. Some of us have a lot of relationships that we know how to connect with and leverage. Our resources can look all kinds of ways, but we've all got them. And I think the challenge for us is, how will we use them? How will we trust God with them? How will we say, you know what, God? Sometimes I'm a little limited with what I think I can do, but you don't seem to be. So I'm going to be here. I'm going to open my hands, and I'm going to trust you with whatever you want to do with what I bring to the table. You know, at the end of the sermon today, we're going to watch what's called our year in review video. And I mean, it is literally just that. We're going to take a little journey through 2024 together and see what's happened at St. Luke's, how God has been moving. I mean, you may very likely see your face in this video. For some of you, that's great news. For some of you, you're like, I was not ready for that today. I don't know what that's going to be like for you. But before we get there, I actually want to zoom way in. And think about your own year in review. Think about your own life. What has God been up to in your life this year? Now, I know it's only November. You've still got, you know, like, what, 6 weeks for God to do some cool stuff in 2024. But think about what's happened so far. What relationships have you cultivated? How have you used your time? How have you used your resources? Where have you seen God showing up in your individual story? I want you to think about that, because here's what I want you to know. Whether you see your face in this video or not today, God is both working in your life, and God is doing something through you here at St. Luke's. In fact, your individual story, it's shaping our collective story. Now, I know some of you hear that, you're like, I literally like come here once a month and I sit in a seat and I leave before the closing song's over. Guess what? Your story is shaping our story. We're better because you're here. We're better because you show up to this place and we see you and we're getting to know you. Maybe you serve in a deep way every single week. Your story is shaping our story. This story doesn't happen without every single story in this room showing up. And wherever you are in your life, wherever you are in your faith, I just want you to know it's not too early or too late to figure out how your story is going to make a difference, to figure out how you're going to use those things that God has given you, to figure out how you're going to be a part of what God is doing in this place. So let's talk about where we are at St. Luke's, and especially St. Luke's Midtown, and in this big story that God's creating. You know, when I think about our campus, one of the things that I'm always struck by is that just by the virtue of being a campus, of being a multi-site church, we're already part of something that is so much bigger than we could just do on our own. We're connected to resources. We're connected to this legacy and this story. I mean, we're connected to perspectives and resources that go back decades. We're connected to a church that has been on the north side of Indianapolis, creating spaces of welcome and inclusion for literally longer than I have been alive. That's amazing. When we're in this space, in this specific church building, we are worshiping and we are creating something on the foundation of what the members of Broad Ripple UMC laid before we were even a dream or an idea. So we get to take these beautiful things, these foundations, and build something that goes into the future. You know, we're getting to write new stories together, not only as a community, but even within some of the specific families that attend St. Luke's Midtown. I think one of the things that's really unique about our community, something you may not even realize, you're going to like start looking around in just a second to see this in action, but we have so many what I'll call multi-generational families that worship here together. I mean, I'm looking at some of you right now. Like, you are my example right in this moment. But I look out when I'm preaching, and I just feel so full of joy because I see grandparents and adult children and their little grandchildren all worshiping together, finding community together, finding hope together. I know that is not all of our stories with our families of origin, but man, I see that here, and I just feel so much hope for what God is doing. I also see families being created out of friend groups. One of the groups I think about is our band. You know, we look at our band and they lead us in music, and I think sometimes we can just be tempted to be like, oh, band, we love you. We appreciate you. You're so good at playing all those notes. It's awesome. But I think what I want you to know is that there's so much more than what happens up here behind me on a Sunday morning. Like, this is a group of people that they gather together. They pray together. They support each other. They aren't just creating music. They're creating community. And by doing that, they're creating the church. You know, I see community being created even out of the ways that we give and invest in this campus. So this is our third commitment Sunday as a community, even though we're about to celebrate our second anniversary. So that's a little tricky, a little confusing. But we did a commitment Sunday before we had even launched this place officially. We did it with our launch team, with like the 75 or so people that were gathered here to start this thing and invest. And the very first commitment Sunday we did in November of 2022, I was overcome with the generosity. Because that year, before we had even launched this campus, people pledged over $178,000. I just remember when I saw those pledges coming in, like when we wrapped up the year and we really looked through it, I said, God, people believe in what we're doing. People believe in what you're doing. Like, people are supporting this place. And I was so humbled and I was so grateful. And then we had Commitment Sunday last year. And in 1 year of being open, our pledges grew from $178,000 to $266,000. I mean, yes, and you did that. And again, I was just overwhelmed by the generosity. I was overwhelmed by the way people believed in what we were creating. And what that told me is we're not just a community that comes and receives something. We do. We receive something. I receive something every week by being with you. But we're a community that says, no, I have something to give. I have something I want to give. I have something I need to give to make this community happen. So I'm so inspired when I look around at Midtown and at St. Luke's as a whole. I'm inspired by what God is doing and by what we're doing together. And as I'm praying about where we're going in 2025, I just want to share with you three simple things that you can pray with me too. And we'll keep talking about these things. But these are just the things that are on my heart for this next chapter of ministry. I'm praying that we are known even better by our neighbors, that we would connect with businesses, that we would connect with the immediate people on our street, that people, when they think of St. Luke's Midtown, they would hear a story that reflects what it means to be a welcoming, safe, open faith community. I'm praying that we create more spaces for people to worship. You know, we've been toying with that second service idea for a hot minute. We've been praying about it. We've been thinking, what could this look like? I'm praying that with even more intention as we go into 2025. And finally, I'm praying that we keep empowering people to use their gifts for ministry, whether that is big or small. And I think on that note, I just want to encourage you, after this service, you heard about it in the announcements, you saw it when you walked in, if you are not serving somewhere yet, or maybe you're wanting to serve in a different way, I really want to encourage you to visit one of the tables at our ministry fair. Our ministry leaders are there. They have so many stories they can tell you about how God is moving in the things that they lead. They want to tell you those stories. They want to give you the candy that they brought today. Don't leave them with a bag full of candy to take home, okay? Stop by their tables, hear these stories, and just think, God, how might you use me? Where is a place that I could start small to be part of this story that we're telling? I want to tell you one more story that inspired me before we take a look at this video. Now, this story comes from a conversation we had at Starting Point. You heard about Starting Point in our announcements. It's for people who are newer to St. Luke's. We gather in the conference room over there. Spoiler alert, I'm going to like blow that whole plan up today and tell you if you're new, go to the ministry fair and talk to people there. And I'll be there too, and you can talk to me, and that'll be great. But we were at Starting Point a few weeks ago, and Jenny and Braden Lucas and their family were there. They're somewhere. They're so close. And we were just having a normal Starting Point conversation, you know, talking about the church and stuff. It wasn't very remarkable. But then Jenny said something that I have carried with me ever since, and I hold on to this so tightly. It is something that encourages me, at least on a monthly basis. They were talking about what they liked about St. Luke's Midtown. And their kids were kind of like playing around on the floor. It was absolutely nap time. They were doing great. Their kids are like preschool age. They're little. And Jenny said, what I love about this church is I'm watching the relationships my kids are building here. I'm watching them play with their friends. I'm watching them be known by adults. And I keep thinking, my kids and these kids are going to grow up at this church together. Now, maybe to some of you, you're like, yeah, this seems real simple. Like they go to church here. They want to keep going to church here. I have to tell you, it wasn't simple to me. Because as the person who was trusted to start this faith community along with you, I'd been seeing so much of the here and now. I'd been tracking our attendance and looking at invitation and like doing all the hustle, all that stuff. But I had never taken the time to actually think about the long-term future. I hadn't taken the time to think about these little kids we see as high school seniors. I hadn't taken the time to really nail down that the piece of my vision that was missing is that if we're doing this in a way that we hope to do it, this place will outlast all of us. This place will write stories that maybe we aren't even a part of, stories that we can't even imagine. You know, I was talking to our team in our pre-service meeting, and I said, last November on this day, there were people who will be here today whose faces we had not seen, whose stories we did not know, whose names we did not know. And today, that's different. And so I hold on to Jenny's words because I think about the community that we're creating and how it's bigger than us, that we're not just storing up something for the next 5 years, but we're storing up something that will go so far beyond what we can imagine. We're about to watch what God has done through St. Luke's in 2024 in our video. After that, we'll have a chance to really talk about those pledge cards and how you want to be part of what God is doing. I want to encourage you, if you need a pen for your pledge, just a real practical moment, if you need a pen for your pledge cards, just raise your hand during the video, and some of our ushers are going to walk around with a little bucket of pens that they can give you. But I just want you, as you watch this video, to just let yourself be in awe of what God is doing and to let yourself realize that you are part of it. So let's take a look at our year in review video now. Resurrection means a rise. Every year when we watch that video, I just feel so much hope and so much gratitude and so much excitement for what we will see in that video in the year ahead. And so today I want to invite you. You have one of these pledge cards in your bulletin. As you feel so moved, to consider what role you'll play in what God will do in 2025. You can fill this out with the amount you intend to give over the year. You'll see some other information. Please put your name on it. And then you can fold it and bring it up to this basket up here whenever you feel led during the song. So here's the thing. If it's like your first time here and you're like, oh my gosh, they're asking me to give money for a year, my friend, you can relax. It's okay. You're safe here. You're good here. No one's going to be looking if you're going or keeping track. It's totally as you're led to do that. But the band's going to be playing a song. Harry from our governing board, who worships here and serves here, he's going to be up front just to say thank you and make sure you get your awesome mug. And I just want you to know, whatever you give, we receive it with the deepest gratitude. We worship in this space with you with the deepest gratitude. I get to be a pastor in this place with the deepest gratitude. So let's pray, and then we can bring up our commitments as we feel led. God, you're doing so many good things in this place. And sometimes I just can't believe we get to be part of it. Sometimes I can't believe we get to tell this story here at St. Luke's Midtown. Sometimes I can't believe when I hear from people who say, this is a church I feel safe in, and I haven't felt that in a really long time. Sometimes I can't believe when I see our kids and our students connecting to each other, our outreach teams going into our community, our worship leading us in amazing ways, our discipleship growing us in our faith, our hospitality bringing us donuts and brunch and a smile. God, there's so many things that I see. And I just think this only happens because of the movement of your Spirit. And so, Jesus, we move with you. We follow you. And we make these commitments today with so much confidence that you are going to continue to do things that we can't even dream or imagine. God, thank you for bringing us along in the good work you're doing here at St. Luke's.